Trendy is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, must be 21 years or older. Welcome back to another edition of Trendy, presented by Omaha, the show where we like to explore the best ways to wager for casual cappers. And I'm all flustered because I was could not wait to make this announcement. Dave Damaschek last week hit 10 out of 12 of his bets, with five of them being plus money selections, to shatter the record. He shattered the record and got all the way to 31.6. That means he was up almost 14 units in three shows. And now I bring in Brad Evans to do even better than that. Brad, do you have any shot in hell of what Damaschek did last week?
What the hell was he on, man? That's what we call a heater of epic proportions. I got no shot, man. I think my heater of the flame extinguished over the weekend. I was up over 12 units of college basketball. Now it's going to be due for a crash landing, so I'm royally screwed. Way to go, Damaschek. Having the bar raised way high for a guy with like a 2-inch vertical, I'll never even reach it.
It was truly nuts. I mean, to be up 14 units on only 12 bets. When you say you were up big over the weekend, that's after you spent an entire year watching college basketball, charting it, honing your craft, yeah, and then probably placed, 100 wagers over the weekend to generate that 12-unit return.
Approximately 88 wagers were made, Mr. Mergler. And just the first couple of rounds, the NC tournament alone, honestly, the most profitable side of my college basketball bets, the NIT, I love you.
Oh, my God. The only person who opted into the NIT was Brad Evans. The schools opted out, the audience opted out, but the savvy gamblers are sitting right on top of it, huh?
Yeah, it's all about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Baby Jokic. I also call him Larry Nerd, Indiana State. I adore you. You are covering machines.
I did like Milk Chamberlain as well. That was
That's a really good one. Yeah.
So, Brad, I do not want to talk about the NIT yet because you're unfortunately going to make me do that later in the show, I believe. But let's talk about the big dance to start with, the one the rest of the world cares about. What you, as I said earlier, you've watched this the entire year. You combined with The Athletic to put out an excellent betting preview that I read cover to cover last week. But what can we throw out now? Like, after you spend the entire year, after you chart all 68 teams, after you publish all those words and get out there on the record, and then you watch 48 games, what is the biggest change in your thought process from last Monday to this Monday?
I mean, just how chalky it is, man. I mean, look at my complexion. I mean, I'm like the most chalky white dude you've ever seen in your entire life. I haven't seen the sun in Central Illinois in months, it seems like. I need to get out and get some color and raise the vitamin D level. And that's kind of what transpired this year's NCAA tournament. I mean, going into it, we all thought it was going to be wild and wacky. It was going to be, you know, the epitome of March Madness. And it was certainly not the case. And we had some blips, some instances there. But you look at the Sweet 16 right now, chalk has reigned supreme, with the lone exception of NC State. But they're from a Power 5 conference that inexplicably, yeah, the ACC has four Sweet 16 representatives for a conference that was relatively mid, you could say, yeah, in the computer analytics and metrics for much of the year. So that takeaway.
Before you jump forward, because I do want to explore the reasons behind that potentially, just to put some numbers behind what you're talking about. Like, if people don't realize like how crazy this is, if we look back 1 year ago, 7-5 seeds or lower made it to the Sweet 16. And then there was complete carnage after that, where only one of the top eight seeds even made it to the Elite Eight, but none of them, of course, reaching the Final Four. So now this year, we only have 4 or 5 seeds or lower, with only one seed being below the 8 seed, which is the NC State that you've already reached. So we're kind of seeing like the two ends, yep, of the polls. Last year was absolutely insane with the number of upsets and the number of lower seeds in advance. This year is historically more aligned, but also even then is a bit of an outlier for how chalky it's been. So how do we explain the swing, right? Like, you could talk about variance all day long and three-point shooting and those sorts of things, but like that hardly takes over entire tournaments and has them bouncing between poles like this year and last year.
Yeah, look, there really isn't a rhyme or reason to it. I mean, the better teams are winning the way it's supposed to be. I mean, you're drawing a higher seed. It should be chalky. You should be able to take care of the little guys and really dispense them. Maybe not in convincing or throttling fashion like I'm looking at you, Duke. Look, I was on James Madison at +7.5, and that flew out the window almost immediately because it was a dominating performance from start to finish. So, in this NIL age, we all kind of expected more balance. Parity. It was front and center. It was the theme of the story for much of the regular season, but we get to the NCAA tournament when all people usually happens and the opposite has come true. So I think just, more talented teams, better coach teams are finally gaining the upper hand and winning. I'm here for it. This is really the way it should be, honestly. Yeah. When you get to the Sweet 16 and at least the Elite Eight and the Final Four, it is normally very chalky, unlike last year, which is more the aberration than the rule. But the matchups, because these teams are all Titans pretty much left with the exception of NC State, is going to encourage some highly engaging, some heated, some down to the final second barn burner action. And of course, somebody wagering like a madman pregame and live during the game for sure.
Well, I think what's most interesting to me, Brad, is like, and we talk about NIL, we talk about the transfer portal, we talk about all the like havoc that wreaks on the league and how the very best teams don't compare to like, the 90s or the 80s or 2000s. Hell, even like 6 years ago, I would think entering the tournament, we would think that like some of those like UConn teams and UNC teams and Villanova teams were much better than the one seeds this year. But this year, the one seeds look amazing. Like, outside of the little scare that Houston had last night, entering the tournament, we would have said this is a pretty weak batch of one seeds historically. But within the context of the tournament, they look about as dominant as I can remember in the last 10 years. I know Houston did give up that lead at the end, but Purdue is just wrecking teams. Like, I thought they were the most impressive team of the entire opening two rounds. Connecticut hasn't had anything resembling a scare. UNC pulled away from a good Michigan State team late, and Houston like dominated round one, had to come and survive OT. But like, I think relative to their peers, they look better than I would have anticipated, especially given their reputations entering the tournament.
Yeah, everybody was down on Purdue because Fairleigh Dickinson, how could we forget? Oh, Matt Painter, he's doomed to fail, right? Oh, Rick Barnes, who's interestingly and coincidentally number two seed in the Midwest region. Maybe they're on a collision course to exorcise some demons and finally reach the Final Four because their track records are not sterling in any way, shape, or form. But yeah, to speak specifically about Purdue, I've watched probably 15 to 20 games of this team all season long. And of course, they've got the best player in the nation there in Zach Edey. But the thing about Edey is this: he's more than just a Frankenstein in the post, that monster in the middle. Yeah, he gets a lot of second chance dunks. Yeah, he wreaks havoc there in the short jump shot or hook game for him. And, just doing a lot of damage around the rim. But his ability to catch the ball, and when the double or triple team in some cases collapses around him, he reads and recognizes immediately and kicks it out to an open man along the perimeter of the mid-range, whether it's a Fletcher Lawyer, whether it's a Brayden Smith or a Mason Gillis, Lance Jones, and those dudes convert. They're shooting over 40% here in the month of March. They're playing a very high level defensively as well. And they played the toughest schedule of any team in the non-conference slate. So that murderer's role that they faced, I think, has ultimately propelled and helped them achieve some greatness here, though they really haven't challenged in the first two rounds, but they're winning and winning in convincing fashion. And I think we could be on a collision course. And this is the way I kind of forecasted at the beginning of the tournament, Toby, of UConn coming out of the left side of the bracket, Purdue coming out of the right side of the bracket. Really, the team's constructs are very similar, and they could meet in Glendale for the whole enchilada, and I would love to see that final unless a certain team from Champaign can somehow get me to Glendale, in which I will never wear pants again if that happens.
Well, we'll talk about Champaign in just a minute. I did want to follow up on your point, what you just said about team construction, right? I think that's why I'm so impressed with Purdue, because in college basketball, it's a lot about, you know, shooting behind the arc, like who can fill it up, who can get hot from there. And like any team that's going to shoot from distance with that kind of clip that Purdue's doing has a chance to win. But also, they also have the only option in America in Zach Edey that is just a 7'4" guy who can get lobs, who can get hooks, who has that giant post presence that is completely unstoppable. And so, like, if they can, like, go toe-to-toe behind the arc with anybody and nobody can go toe-to-toe with them in the post, they have more ways to win rather than just being dependent upon bombing from the outside.
Yeah, that's true. And you look at UConn, they got Dominic Klingon, who is their version of Zach Edey at 7'2", and they're both wide-bodied 7-footers, right? They're not long drinks that look rather emaciated. They're guys that just clog the lane. And, I'm just fascinated. If they do meet for the national title, who is going to win that battle of the bulge, so to speak, between Zach Edey and Dominic Klingon? I think that game will only be determined by the outside shooters, whether it's Caravan, whether it's Spencer for the UConn Huskies, or Tristan Newton, who runs the point guard so efficiently and effectively, versus, you know, Purdue's guys I've already listed and outlined. So that, to me, would be an epic national title game. And I think, honestly, that's a foregone conclusion here.
Well, before we go ahead and write it down in ink, talk a little bit about your boys in Champaign. My alma mater famously embarrassed the hell out of all of us and became a national joke, deservedly so, like in this tournament. Yours is rising up. Like, I think Illinois is one of the three most impressive weekends, you know, in the opening round. Like, I thought they took care of business. They looked awesome. They look somewhat underseeded, and I would be afraid of them, the ones who crashed this big dance.
Yeah, look, whoever comes out of the East region is going to win the whole shebang. And, it could be UConn. Obviously, they're a front runner for a reason. But if you're looking for value on the board, it's with my ILL. They're 7-1 to emerge unscathed out of the East. They're like 22-1 at many books right now to win the entire thing. And this is a team that is built for March. And, you know, I felt that way throughout the entire season. They got disruptive length. They get a ton of second chance opportunities. They have a big three in Terrence Shannon, who's doing Carmelo Anthony-like things, carrying this team on his back, who gets downhill and just beats you to a bloody pulp in and around the rim. It can also splash him outside. DeMass has all little things. Remember, he had a triple-double in the first round, the 10th ever in NCAA tournament history. That coming against Morehead State. Coleman Hawkins at 6'10", can play literally every position on the floor, including a point guard. And can beat you inside, can beat you outside, and their best defender. But what's key for Illinois has been that fourth person, and it's been a bit of a wild card here the first couple of games. Whether it's Lou Goody, whether it's the transfer Quincy Guerrier, whether it's Dane Danger, watch yourself, who has been amazing. I mean, he had over 20 points in that first round game. He has been a bully in his own right in the post. Even DGL, Dre Gibbs Longhorn, the freshman, hit a couple of huge triples in that first matchup against Morehead. Like, that's the key for Illinois. You get that consistent wild card fourth option, and they play just a B-minus level of defense. This is the best offensive team in the field remaining. So just play average D, get that four score, and they could compete. And yes, they could even knock off UConn, the almighty Huskies, and bounce them in the tournament. So yeah, I think Illinois, best value of the board, as unbiased of an opinion as I can give on my Illini.
Well, Brad, go ahead and take those pants off, because at Caesars, Illinois is up to plus 3,500 to win the entire
tournament.
Oh, get
the hell out of here. 35-1?
35-1 at Caesars right now, my friend.
Take my money, Caesars. Take it. Here's my belt.
And it's the right time to get in, right? Because they don't have to play UConn yet. If UConn happens to take an L, like, those numbers will skyrocket. And I like them against Iowa State. So, like, if you're going to bet a future this week, I actually am unbiased, unlike my friend over there. And I do think Illinois is the best value of anybody left on the board. But I will say, Brad, I think the chalk is going to continue. You said it's somewhat inevitable that Purdue and UConn is going to make the Final Four. And so I would normally do this in the heater segment, but since we're already kind of in the flow of the conversation, my heater this week is I am taking all the plus money one seeds to make the Final Four. which is three of them. UConn is still negative money. I think it's like minus 230, some massive number. Really disrespectful to your Illini. But the other ones are all plus money. Houston is plus 100. That's the one I'm kind of diciest about, even though they have the shortest odds. I don't know if it's just watching the overtime game last night that has me a little bit scared, but I do think they had the worst of the number one seed performances in the first two rounds. And then the other two I love. Purdue is plus 130 and UNC is plus 165. And so, like, normally I'd probably just bet these separately, but I want to reserve on this game show style. I want to reserve my other picks to not just take like Purdue and UNC money lines on Wednesday and Friday show. So I'm locking them in early, three chalk picks. If I go two out of three on them, I get a nice return on the portfolio.
I actually love that, man. I think that's an extraordinary value right now on the board. And this could be the chalkiest of chalky Final Fours. I mean, there is a real path here and potential. And I think it's entirely warranted that all number one seeds make it to Glendale, which never happens. I don't think it's ever happened. Yeah, I mean, even three to get to the Final Four is extraordinarily rare. So I like that. And by the way, I'm still tailing a ticket that I placed before the tournament on over under 1.5 1 seeds to make it to Arizona in the Final Four. And that's looking really strong on that over, which I got at significant plus money.
Love it. Yeah, no, this is a great year to hold. I mean, watching, like, this could all reverse course really quick and we can see nothing but upsets here on Thursday and Friday. But I do think the one seeds have separated themselves more in this tournament than in the last probably half decade or so.
Yep, totally agree.
All right, well, let's find some disagreement right after this break with our picks, Brad, and let's give Caesar some love first.
You know, when the conversation turns tampers, I always go with my number one as Caesars. Let's talk about them a little bit, shall we? Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesars Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesars Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns rewards credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using this code. Listen up, OmahaFull. The word Omaha and the word full. And then you place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great. If you keep those winnings, but if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and over only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harrah's, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
All right, Brad, we are back, and this is your fourth time on the show. I am 2-1 against you, so I am going to claim honors. And let's continue this chalk discussion, but let's do it in a different tournament, the better tournament, where the March Madness has been better. It is over on the women's side. The women's tournament has been very, very chalky, but very, very good. As much as we talked about it on the men's side, I don't know if you've actually looked up the stats on this because I know you watched all 48 games over the weekend. In the first round, 31 of the 32 higher-ranked teams won the games, Brad. 31 out of 32 on the women's side. And only 9 of the 32 games were decided by single digits. So we saw nothing but the better seeds routing teams and looking awesome doing it. That is nuts.
Well, that's kind of typical women's basketball too. It's been the state of the game, the course of the action that's wound that path for like the last 20 years, quite honestly. Yeah. Chalk has always reigned supreme in the ladies game, which sets up just some breathtaking matchups as you get deeper in the rounds. And obviously that's where the bend in the road, the crook in the road typically happens. So, yeah, I'm not remotely shocked that Chalk absolutely blanketed the women's game in the first couple of rounds.
I know. That even includes, like, the 8-9s. I mean, it like to have 31 out of 32 is really pushing it. But it does speak to, like, the stratification in the women's game. Like, that's why the second weekend of the women's tournament is so amazing, because of the Chalk. And then you do lead to these heavyweight matchups. And I think we're going to get that rounded out today on the women's side. So one more day of action before the Sweet 16 is set. And I am just blindly taking the 1 and 2 seeds to advance. So a Notre Dame, Iowa, USC, UCLA money line parlay gets you almost to even money at Caesars, Brad, at -122. I think we get a great Sweet 16, like all those teams, to continue the Chalk. And of course, then you get to root for Caitlin Clark and all the other superstars on these teams.
Yeah, I think it's an excellent call, man. And the fact that's only -122 on the juice, it's not seduced by the juice worthy body search of the imagination. But I will say this, it is quite enticing juice, good lad.
All right. Well, what do you have to entice us with?
All right. For my heart pick, is that where we're starting?
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's go with the NBA. I'm going to work in SGP on – I usually bet player props on three guys and three guys only in the SGP market. One is Wimby, who is in action tonight. And believe it or not, I didn't feature him in any of my bets today. The other being Shai Gilgeous-Alexander from the Oakland Thunder. And the third guy being Domantas Sabonis. Arvidas's kid. So on the SGP, give me the Kings -4.5. Give me Sabonis 15 or more points, Sabonis 12 or more rebounds, Sabonis 5 or more dimes. It's awful juice. It's miserable juice, admittedly, but it's low plus money at +105. And I think this is going to cash. So the reason being is this. Sacramento's taking on Philadelphia. Yeah, they lost him earlier this season, but the Sixers have dropped 4 of the last 5 on the road. Sacramento was 7-3 straight up in their last 10 games, and they're going to exact that revenge game narrative from that LA draw there in the city of brotherly love back in mid-January. Meanwhile, you look at Sabonis on the point side of things. He has done 15 or more in 9 of his last 11 games. He'll get over that without any difficulty. On the rebounding side, oh, the guy, all he does is wax that glass. He has done that in 11 of his last 12 games. He's averaging 16.3 boards per game every month of March. Had a dozen against Philadelphia in the first matchup. And the 76ers have given up the third most opponent rebounds per game in their last 15 contests. And then meanwhile, on the assist side, all I need is 5. He has done that in 9 of his last 10. He's averaging 7.5 dimes per game in the month of March. He had 5 against Philly in that first tilt. And the 76ers, they'll have allowed the 7th fewest assists per game to opponents in their last 15. So to recap, Mergler, Kings on the old spread -4.5. Sabonis, 15 or more points. Sabonis, 12 or more rebounds. Sabonis, 5 or more assists on this SGP, and come with me if you are buying what I am selling, +105 there at Caesars.
Very similar to the energy Damashek brought last week. He just yelled just as much as you. So
I highly doubt that.
So the Kings are currently serving a 1-week suspension for me, so I cannot follow you. Anybody, it's mandatory. You lose to the Wizards, you're suspended for a week. So I cannot bet any sort of overs or covers or anything involving them. I've got to sit that out because that was a horrible loss to Washington last Thursday. But I do love Sabonis, and he is one of those guys who covers numbers with so much regularity in the regular season.
All the time.
With so much predictability. So I love that he's one of like your three guys, along with my guys, Wemby and SGA. And speaking of those Wizards, I am going to fade the Wizards, as is my custom, in the head category, this time within my avatar of Corey Kispert. who somehow is putting up a plus number on assists at 2.5. And I am going to take the under at plus 106. This has hit 9 of the last 10. He's failed to get 3 assists 78% of times on the years. And he's playing your Chicago Bulls tonight, which strangely seems to be a detriment to this bet. Because I don't know why, I can't explain it, but Kispert, the last 7 times he actually did hit 3 assists, it was against the Heat, the Lakers, the Warriors, the Nuggets, the Pelicans, the Celtics, the Suns. Like, teams with, like, championship pedigrees with superstars. The Bulls are not those teams. He had just 1 assist against the Bulls last week. I don't understand why I'm getting a plus sign on what at best is a coin flip. So let's take our chances here tonight. This also might be rock bottom for the Wizards team in general, Brad, given that they are a 13-point dog to the Chicago Bulls. Is there any collection of people play to pay basketball in the world that should be a 13-point dog to this crappy Bulls team?
No. Is Jordan Pippen coming out of retirement? Bill Winnington? I mean, come on, man. Give me a break.
Bill would start for the Wizards. Just right. I'll take him right now.
Oh, guarantee will, man. He had one of the sickest, like, baseline mid-range jump shots in the history of the 90s of the NBA. So Bill Winnington would dominate with the Wizards right now. That's how bad they are.
Ugh, gross. 13-point dogs, and I still couldn't take them. I still couldn't take them. That's how just beaten down I am emotionally by this collection of alleged professionals.
Yeah, and I condolences on that. This is why alcohol was invented, my friend, to try to give you consolences when you need it. My head pick, let's go to the CBI, because I'm a true blue degen when it comes to college basketball. I like the caca, the Redhawks of Seattle. I'm going to lay the 8 against a team in a town with my namesake, and that's Evansville, so I may be kicked out of the Evans family. Fading the Purple Aces, but I got to side with Seattle here. Seattle's bar none the better team. You look at Bartorvik ranks here last month. They're number 120 in that category. You might say, oh, they suck. Well, Evansville says, hold my beer. They're number 202 in that category. Evansville number 317 during that stretch. An effective field goal percentage offense, only in 48.3% inside the arc and 25.3% outside of it. They're a better defensive team, but you look at Seattle, they just have far and away more balance. Number 142 EFG offense, number 129 EFG defense. They shut everybody down along the perimeter. They're always carrying a pair of handcuffs in the back of their pocket in that regard. They're just frankly the better team for some of that sizzling hot CBI action, because you need it before the Sweet 16 tips back off on Thursday. Give me Seattle. I'm laying the 8 points against Evansville.
I'm just trying to reintroduce myself to my family, apologize to my employer, like, you know, walk my dog, and you're begging out heavy CBI action on a Monday. Yeah. When do you relax, dude?
Just wait. The next pick is going to be in the CIT, which, yes, is a real basketball tournament.
There's no way. You're making this up. Like, I'm going to have to stop the showdown to make sure that these are not only just like a tournament. I've never even heard of these schools.
So you're going to need to bathe after I give you these picks.
I've already given out my heater at the top of the show, so I can't delay this any longer. Who the hell is IPFW versus Tarleton State? Tell me what this is.
That's Indiana, Purdue, Fort Wayne, also known as the Mastodons. Put some damn respect on their name. And Tarleton State is a small school somewhere in West Texas that is usually coached by Billy Gillespie, which may be a familiar name, former University of Illinois assistant, former University of Kentucky head coach. He is now back at his roots there in the western part of Lone Star State.
Oh my God.
Regardless of all that background and lesson, I like the under in that CIT matchup being played on a neutral floor. And I grabbed the number 151.5 at a minus 110 juice there at Caesars. Now, everything is contrary to what I'm about to present on the under. Everybody believes the over is going to hit, at least the advanced numerics do, because you look at IPFW, the number 40 adjusted tempo last 30 days, the number 205, miserable in that category, EFG defense during that stretch. You look at Tarleton, a team that's number 113 at EFG offense, not too bad there, but somewhat suspect defensively, number 135 at EFGT. So you might say to yourself, well, Evans, this thing's going to easily be like in the 80s. That's what the Fearless forecast should be telling you. But Tarleton likes to play at a slower tempo. They're number 161 in adjusted tempo last 30 days. I think that combined with Tarleton's plus interior defense and ability to turn the ball over from the opposition will limit some of the possessions in this game for the opposition. And in the end, I don't think this thing's going to escape the low 70s. I think 151.5 on the total, way too high. And yes, you want to barf. I just gave you a pick in the CIT. What?
Is this like when they offer Raiders fans free tickets and they're just trying to round up against a bunch of guys with warrants? Is this just like a trap for responsible gambling? Like, if I go to actually place this, then I've got to call one of those 800 numbers and spend the next 45 minutes like being counseled because I'm this deep into the weeds?
Yeah, possibly. But what else are you going to do? This game being played in Stephensville, Texas. I'm not even sure where that is. It can't be more like 5,000 people that live there. It's a random Monday in March. You're not going to go to the bar. You're not going to go see a movie. You're going to go watch Tarleton State action against IPFW because you might have a couple of bucks out of what you can't place legally in the state of Texas.
I cannot believe this is at a neutral floor. Like, what was the bidding process for this? We'll start the bid at you pay us $10,000 to like run the air conditioning and then we'll still host your tournament. Like, how do they find a neutral party who wants this?
I don't know, but this is a true story, Mergler. The arena that they're playing in Stephensville is called Wisdom Gym. So I think it would be kind of unwise for you to actually watch this.
Wow. I mean, how? Like, I assume this is like, this is so bad, it's like banned from even being like telegrammed about.
There's a Dairy Queen across the street. I'm looking at the map right now, and a Schlotsky's Deli less than a block away. I'm there in a heartbeat. Bang, bang, baby.
Get on a plane now. Get your Tarleton State swag and then bet the under in front of 200 of your closest friends who all are thinking about Dairy Queen. That is the game that you just came out on this nationally broadcast show.
I feel great about it.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right, Brett, you're off the hook for giving out Zuzu open picks, whatever the freak you gave out. That is the most random event given out here. I have more opportunity to bend on ping pong in like Afghanistan than I do on the American basketball that I did not know about.
I'm in. Give me all that action. By the way, you may not know this, Mergler. Ping pong, the highest handle in these United States of America by state, belongs to Colorado. That state bets more on ping pong than anywhere else.
That's why I brought it up, your formal stomping grounds.
That's right.
All right. Let's pretend after that there's any credibility left on the show. Like, we're gonna have to conjure up and use our imaginations that it still exists after the pick you just gave out, but we still have to give out that category. I am gonna go with your boy Wemby and my boy Wemby as well.
Yeah.
13 points tonight against the Suns. That is a lot, Brad. That is a lot. The Spurs are still competing and have one of the most impactful guys in the entire league. They did get rolled by the Suns on Saturday, but that was on a back-to-back, and Wemby only played 21 minutes. The line moved 2.5 points since that Saturday game because of the blowout. So it was a 10.5 game on Saturday. You're getting 2.5 extra points. You're getting 13 now when I think that they are better prepared and Wemby is going to be pissed and come back out and wreak a little bit of havoc. The Suns do need to win because they're in a dogfight with the Mavericks for the last guaranteed spot, but they'd be more than happy to win by single digits. I think they do it tonight. I think Wemby shows up against KD, goes mano-to-mano, and loses by like 8, 9, maybe even 10, but covers fairly comfortable against a pretty massive double-digit spread.
Hey, I like that play. You had me at Wemby. My play here in the cred segment, he's a joker, he's a smoker, he's a stat sheet toker. It's Nikola Jokic, man. I'll take it for a triple-double. I got it at plus 160, believe it or not. I get seduced by that juice. I certainly did. They were at Caesars Sportsbook, taking on the Memphis Grizzlies. He's already got a triple-double against him earlier this season. He's only faced him twice. He just fell short in the assist category. He normally does when he doesn't TD in a game. He went 22-12-7 in that October matchup, but the late December matchup, against Memphis, he went 26-14-10. You're going to be puckering up and sweating all the wrong places on the dimes drop side of it. But he does have three triple doubles here in the month of March. And you look at the Grizzlies over the last 15 games, they're number 14 in terms of most opponent points per game allowed over their last 15, number 9 in most rebounds per game allowed over the last 15, and number 6 in most assists per game allowed over the last 15. So that usual area he's short in, I think he's got to thrive just enough. Nikola Jokic, get for me, done in the land of ping pong, apparently, in the Denver Nuggets on the triple-double plus 160 against the Grizz.
Can't do it with you, man. I'm just worried about the blowout potential. And I just, any individual superstar, like putting up a giant number in a non-competitive March game, I just get nervous about. Like 165 is a good number. I'm not sure 165 fully captures the dynamics of playing this game on whatever it is, March 25th, when they're just trying to get healthy for a run in April and May. But I will tell you what, Brad, I'm not, that made up game you gave him the heater, I can't go near that as well, because I don't think they're going to pay me in real dollars. That would be imaginary dollars if I was to win that. But I will tail Seattle. What the hell?
Yeah, the Red Hawks.
I will get on board with the Red Hawks. They will cover 8 against Evansville tonight. For all the reasons you laid out, you convinced me.
All right, well, hey, welcome to the CBI, not the CIT. So, yeah, you're willing to cross a certain line. You just can't go all the way.
Man's got to have a code. What are you going to do on my picks? What are you going to tail or fail?
All right. Honestly, I loved your women's college basketball breakdown. I mean, that seems like the most low-hanging fruit of the bunch. It's like a watermelon on a twig. It really is. When you're taking all those top seeds to advance on, that makes all the sense of the world. So what was it? Iowa, Notre Dame, UCLA, and USC at minus 122? Yep. Yeah.
You got
windmill
it.
Slam dunk that stuff.
All right, let's do it. Yeah, and trust me, the NCAA also wants to see those four teams advance. So I'm not expecting a whole bunch of whistles the other way. It's in everybody's best interest. So let's see it, baby. All right, let's give our sponsors a little bit of love, give out our Second Guess Express, and send people on their way into whatever direction you just sent them, Brad. I am still blown away by that pick. All right, we are back, and Brad, I claimed honors at the top, so let's go ahead and let you get aboard the Second Guess Express first. Which one is sitting on your betting bench and therefore guaranteed to outscore those starters?
Yeah, it's Nick Claxton in a game that you have to bet on to watch. That's the Nets and the Raptors. I say he gets a double-double, and it's a minus 130 juice on that, and that's why I second-guessed it. If it was close to even money, I probably would have jumped all over it, but a little bit more hesitant at that minus 130. He fell short in the pair of matchups against the Raptors earlier this season, went 15-8 one game and 6-10 in the other. But he's averaging close to a double-double here in the month of March. He's got 6 double-doubles this month. He's averaging 13.3 points per game, 9.3 rebounds per game. And Toronto, all they care about is having extra envelopes in the hopper for the NBA draft and lottery selections and everything else down the stretch. I mean, look at them. Number 3 in points per game allowed over the last 15, number 1 in opponent rebounds per game allowed. They've checked out, man. It's 1-2-3 Cancun. They're wanting to sip Mai Tais on a, you know, fine Caribbean island somewhere. So I think Nick Claxton at least gets 10 points, 10 boards tonight. And I'm coming for a damage check if that one happens.
Well, I will tell you that a man who just spent 6 minutes breaking down IPFW and Tarleton State just to clear the Raptors and Nets unwatchable. So they have a lot of looking in the mirror to do.
Yeah. Hey, I'm dirty. I'm filthy. I have no shame. I don't mind betting on Tarleton State, but I will not watch a single second of God all of Toronto Raptors basketball.
As we said, man's got to have a code. So I am going with the Clippers team over in my Second Guess Express at 119.5. And basically, I just looked up who was playing the Pacers after they gave up 150 to the Lakers and said, give me the team over blind. But then I couldn't quite pull the trigger, Brad, because the Clippers are obviously up and down and more down than up. They've only broken 120 in 5 of the last 20 games. And the Pacers have actually only given up 120 as the new rules have kicked in 7 of the last 20. So while my instinct said immediately take that Clippers team over, the numbers say that you actually want to be on the other side of this, surprisingly. So I'm just going to stay away ultimately. But that game last night just maybe abandoned all hope in the Pacers able to get stops and keeping any NBA team down in like the 110s.
All right, I'm down with that. A little side note, and this is a true story, folks. Montana and Arkansas State are about to tip off, and I have action on the Grizzlies. So let's wrap this sucker up.
All right. Well, Brad, we'd want to get you back to the Grizzlies and having you write about them over at your new site. Why don't you tell everybody about it?
Yeah, it's thegamingjuice.com, one-stop shop for all of my various opinions. We have some guest writers cover the NHL because they're dropping the puck and trying to make some bucks because I don't know jack nor squat about hockey. Like, I don't even understand what the hell icing is. But what I do know, it's all college basketball all the time. We're going to have some Major League Baseball betting action in there. Of course, a ton of NFL action as well. Every single day, all of my content that I post, always free. Always transparent. Join today. It's free to do so. I don't charge you a single dime. And I have an open book of all my various plays. And it's all about picks with personality at thegamingjuice.com. I'll try to make you laugh as well.
Yeah. Well, I don't know where you're going to get some of that personality after this show. Everybody thinks you're so bland.
That's accurate.
All right, well, Damashek is going to try to come back to earth on -3 this week, but maybe he'll stay hot, so keep following his picks. He'll also be on Extra Points on Wednesday with the Hench episode later in the week on Thursday. Martin and Gunnels will be back with Lemon Pepper Parlay. With their Tuesday night Lemon Pepper Parlays have been really good, especially Martin's. Mark's not so much, but listen to what Martin has to say. He's been hitting that Tuesday with regularity. And then I will be back on Thursday with Covered in Glory. We have a return of soccer this week, and not just going to do these cash-grabbing international games. We're going to play some real ones, including one of the biggest games of the year in the Premier League, Arsenal and Manchester City. In the meantime, Brad and I will be back on Wednesday, probably talking about games you're actually going to watch. That are going to be contested on Thursday night as we get back into the NCAA tournament. But enjoy this Monday. Enjoy filling that time. Anything else you want to yell at the people before we leave, Brad?
Go Grizzlies! Score some baskets! I need you to cover the 3 against Arkansas State. I'm out.
Take care, everyone.